And then we get a lot of phone calls because of the tax breaks for short-term rentals. And they are massive and they are amazing. But you have to really, really know and be careful what you're doing. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jake Sheehy.
Yes, sir.
How's it going, brother?
Amazing. Great day to be alive, man. Happy to be here.
Back from Thanksgiving break.
Back from Thanksgiving break. Feeling
amazing.
You had
a Chinese Thanksgiving.
Chinese Thanksgiving, man. The food is wild. I actually took some pictures I got to show you later today. The food was wild. The culture differences was wild. It was just an interesting time. But man, I was very thankful. Thankful for everything. Happy to be here.
Nice. The travel went off without a hitch.
Yeah. The plane is terrifying, as you know, going through some turbulence.
You don't love flying, do you?
I hate it, but we made it here safely. We're back.
We're back in action. Yeah.
Great stuff for today, man.
What do we have on the agenda? What are we talking about today?
Okay. Oh, I didn't even ask, so I'm sorry. I should ask, how was your Thanksgiving first before I totally went right over it.
It was good. Ours was traditional. We actually had turkey and stuffing and potatoes the yams and the pies and everything else. And so it was good.
I missed that.
You got to experience a little bit of a different Thanksgiving, which is fun too. You know, it's fun to, you know, spread your wings and try different things, right?
Yeah.
No, you just don't want to miss Thanksgiving.
I don't want to do it. Man, I love Thanksgiving food. It was pretty hard, but you know, I love the attitude. Got to try new things. It was fantastic. Great time.
Yeah. It's always good. I love Thanksgiving too. It's fun to get together, and we hosted it this year and had our whole family over and cooked two turkeys. We had that many people, so we had to cook two full turkeys.
Way to go.
So it was.
Did you fry them?
No, I did. No. We fried one, smoked the other.
Oh, so God, I miss it, dude.
Yeah, we did. We did one of each.
All right. So let's jump into it, man. I'm pumped up. I'm excited for today.
Okay.
Here we go. So we're talking about taxes today. We're coming towards the end of the year. People are really interested. How are they going to use this money to either offset their taxes or roll it into their portfolio? High income earners are really curious about this. So I have a couple of different titles, right?
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with this one right here. Number three, let's just go it. How the wealthy leverage short-term rentals for massive tax breaks. I mean, choose. The title may be differently. We got a couple different options there, but we're going to go over that. But of course, we got to shout out these two amazing things that happened. First and foremost, Steve Schrag. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that last name right, but he just came out. Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, he's been setting this up. He's been taking some time, doing it right, doing the what we call our Vodacy signature recipe. It's gonna crush it for him.
Yeah.
Looks amazing, Steve. Excited for you to get this one on the market and
love it.
See how it performs. Now that the snow's finally here.
I mean, dude, it came out heavy.
We finally got hammered.
I love it.
With one good snowstorm and more to come, hopefully.
Yeah,
for those skiers and those ski resort towns, because we have had
yeah,
a beautiful fall. I'm not complaining. I love it. But yesterday we got a foot in the yard. So it was
that's
finally,
awesome.
Finally started coming. Now
so get
right.
So get ready, Steve. It's coming.
we're excited for you in Steamboat Springs there.
Link in bio if you want to look at that property for yourself.
Yes.
But now we're going on to the next thing. Brian and Amelia, they came out first year AirDNA results. Look at this.
Yeah.
They got a property, Ramblin' Rose Lodge, Hocking Hills, Ohio. Number two property after their first year. Let's take a look at it. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Come
on. Awesome property. Brian and Amelia do an amazing job in that market. They've got multiple properties there and absolutely crush it and just really know how to dial in that game.
Yeah.
They self-manage their properties. Amazing hosts. Doing a great job. It is no surprise to me that they are the number two property. I expect and anticipate them to be taking over that number one spot here very, very soon. They're not very far behind. They're about $6,000 gross behind.
Wow.
And so not even that. They're about $4,000 gross behind. And so I feel like they're going to take that number one spot here very soon. So Brian, Amelia, congrats.
You
guys, again, no surprise that any of these are, we're giving shout outs to them always. Success leaves clues. Go check out the links in the bio and see what it takes to operate at the top of those markets. And, you know, we were talking with James a couple podcasts ago, James Oliger, and he said he brought up something that I'm going to keep repeating.
Yeah.
But give him credit for saying it. But he said you really can't have a number one revenue property without number one property manager in place.
Right.
And that's really where Brian and Amelia shine is mm-hmm. on the management side as well, because mm-hmm. they are such amazing hosts that it, that they're just, you know, that when they combine the amazing properties they're setting up
right.
with that amazing hosting experience that, mm-hmm. The guest is pretty happy and the results are showing why they're getting rewarded with people's pocketbooks, I guess mm-hmm. we should say.
Yeah. Episode 328, go check it out. Just a couple episodes down. I believe the episode is how he doubled revenue. James doubled his revenue. Yeah. After 1 year with the Vodacy system. Yeah,
James had a property that was kind of just getting his fair share of business, performing mm-hmm. kind of right where it should have been in mm-hmm. the middle of the market. The way it was set up, came in, teamed up with us and figured out what that Vodacy signature recipe is about, and went from about $70,000 in revenue to $139,000.
Come on.
Like doubled revenue.
Let's go. That's
fun. That's awesome. Fun stories, right?
So go listen. That's amazing. To them. Three things off the top, and right. I love it. Okay, so we're going into this taxes. We're jumping right in. Now, I'm definitely leaning on hard on you here. Is there a certain place that you think is the best place to start? We have appreciation, depreciation, cost segregation.
Yeah. So let's start here.
Okay.
When it comes to what are you titling this episode? Why? How the wealthy leverage short-term rentals for massive tax breaks. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is all over the place right now mm-hmm. because we're at the end of the year mm-hmm. and everybody's saying, "Oh man, I need to." I did well in my active income mm-hmm. job. I earned some money. Mm-hmm. I need to buy something. And you know, all of a sudden those big SUVs start flying off the mm-hmm. shelves at the car lots. And then we get a lot of phone calls because of the tax breaks for short-term rentals.
Right.
And they are massive and mm-hmm. they are amazing. Mm-hmm. But you have to really, really know and be careful what you're doing. You cannot, like our CPA always says, Mike Pine says, you can't let the tax tail wag the investment dog.
Mm.
What he's saying is, don't just go buy something you don't have. I mean, these are long-term assets. These are long-term strategies that you're going to build a portfolio of. And we love them, mm-hmm. right? We maximize them for lifestyle, financial freedom. Mm-hmm. But we really want to be in this game. Mm-hmm. What we find a lot right now is high-income earners that are saying, I just need a massive tax break. And the second thing we hear is, I see online, and I'm going to throw somebody under the bus. I actually happen to have my phone right here, so we're going to throw somebody under the bus. I want to read it accurately.
Okay.
I never have my phone in the podcast room, so I need
to. I'm so excited.
You got to give me a second.
I'm juiced up for this right now.
but we see, the point is, we see a lot of misinformation out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to go through an audit this year, an IRS audit, mm-hmm. on a property that we took bonus depreciation on with the short-term rental loophole and with materially participating in, it saved me massively in taxes.
Right.
And it was amazing. We'll dive into that stuff that you have written down with appreciation, depreciation, cost seg, all those different things,
right.
which are great. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people out there talking about this that either one are intentionally misleading, which hopefully that's not the case, or which is most likely the case, they're misinformed. And they repeat what they've heard and they repeat what they think they know. And the problem with the short-term rental coaching space, mm-hmm. and let's just stay in our lane, but this happens everywhere,
mm-hmm.
that you have a lot of people that are, you know, ex-doctors, ex-engineers, ex-whatever, fill in the blank, mm-hmm. and that are not full-time real estate investors for a very long period of time. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, they're experts and they're teaching it. And so I don't think they're intentionally misleading, but what happens, especially with ChatGPT and Grok and Claude and all these AI tools,
right.
you're just getting a lot of regurgitated information. And when enough information is out there, everybody starts saying the same thing and nothing. Mm-hmm. And you've got a lot of people who are very intelligent in their own right. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they're very successful. A lot of them that are teaching this stuff, they just haven't been in this lane for very long.
Mm.
And so you have to be very careful. And this is what I think the situation is with this guy.
Okay.
So all right. I'm going to pull it up and we should tag him and he should have a chance to respond if I'm off base at all, but I'm reading it right from his Instagram account.
Okay.
So this is Mr. Justin S. Thompson. He's his bio says he's an ex-engineer, turned short-term rental investor. Okay. And now he teaches people to do this. Now, great. All that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something that happens when you don't have you know, they, what's the tipping point of 10,000 hours and you don't have 10,000 hours of something where you're working full time for 40 hours a week for how many years, is 10,000 hours. It's a lot of years, right?
Yeah.
And you're doing this full time. So what happens is you have these people that had success with a couple properties and then they start talking about something that maybe they know, maybe they don't know. And what I feel like happens is they're not intentionally misleading, but things and details matter when you're talking about IRS strategies.
Right.
I promise you the details matter.
Oh,
there's a
yeah.
reason why 90% of audits come back with problems, right? Only 11% of audits come back with zero changes. I happen to have one of those 11%.
Come on
so
now.
To say we know what we're talking about, the T's to cross and the I's to dot. Now I say that with not to impress or anything, but to impress upon people, there's a lot of information out there. And when you are in a hurry and we're in December now and it's the 11th hour and you've got a big tax bill and you're like, I just need a property. I just want a turnkey property. You know how often we get called about that. Do you know how often people will open up their books and say, hey, go deliver this for me, Sean.
Yeah.
How often do we take those?
Oh man, I got some already this week. It's Monday.
And what do we say to him every time?
Dude.
Do I say, yeah, let's do it? No.
No, I say point him to this podcast and share this podcast with all your friends and family. That's what I tell them to
do. We tell them, no, listen, this is a game you want to walk into with your eyes wide open.
Right.
This is a long-term commitment. Mm-hmm. And so this ad, let me go back to my phone because it just took screenshots of this to show you guys last week, right?
Right.
And so, and this is, there's a version of this that everybody posts. Yeah. If you make $200,000 per year from a job, you lose roughly $70,000 in taxes. Instead, you can buy an Airbnb to legally pay $0 in tax. Here's how it worked for one of my clients. Again, one of my clients, he's not even doing it or he hasn't even done it.
Oh.
I would never teach anything that I don't do. Just my philosophy. I only am going to teach something and talk about something I've done not once, but many times because I need to make the mistakes. But here's the problem.
Okay.
It's a long post, but this one says, one of my clients was, I'm just going to read it word for word. And then I'll tell you, this is the issue with it. One of my clients was in the exact spot. Engineer, $200,000 W-2 income, losing $70,000 every single year. Okay. He was tired of it. So we bought an Airbnb, used cost segregation to accelerate depreciation on the property. Combine that with short-term rental tax advantages to offset his entire W-2 income. Result, $0 tax bill on that $200,000 in income, completely legal. He kept the $70,000 he would have lost. The property cash flowed $3,000 a month. It's building equity and it saves him $70,000 in taxes every single year going forward. One property changed his entire financial picture. I read that direct from a post. Here's the problem. You don't save $70,000 a year every single year. Again, he specifically says, and it saves him $70,000 in taxes every single year going forward. Justin, go edit the post so people aren't misled. I don't think you're probably trying to mislead people, but details matter.
Yeah.
The truth is good enough. And the details that are the tax advantages are massive. The property that I got audited on, I recouped almost more than half of my down payment.
Dang.
I bought it for $800,000. I put $160,000 down. I did a cost segregation. I materially participated. I had a cost segregation for $244,000 and change, almost $245,000 write off, right? So I would have been able to write off $245,000 of income. So it reduced my taxes that I was paying the IRS by $95,000.
Wow.
So put $160,000 down and I reduced my taxes by $95,000.
Wow.
That's good. That's really good.
That's
but
awesome.
Guess what? I don't get to do that again. It's called accelerated depreciation because we're taking 100% of our bonus or depreciation up front. And so it's a one-time deal. So I get that massive return on my tax savings one time, not every single year. So if I'm writing these out and I'm looking at this and I'm an engineer or a doctor or somebody else, I'm going to pick on doctors for just a second.
Okay.
Man, I'm not going to make a lot of friends today.
Bro, I'm loving this. Gives me so many reels. I got time codes at the bottom. I'm loving this.
We're not going to get a lot of DMs saying, "Hey, let's be best friends." So, but I'm saying this with all due respect, but okay. also okay. because it is frustrating when we've been, I've been doing this for 26 years. Mm-hmm. I have made a ton of mistakes mm-hmm. by not paying attention to the details, by mm-hmm. not understanding the little nuances that make or break deals. And what happens is, and physicians are famous for this, and I don't understand why, but physicians are famous for trusting other physicians with almost any advice. And I think because they're so smart, they're naturally really intelligent people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's who you want working on your, you know, whether you're going into surgery or something. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what it is, but I've worked with a lot of physicians and we work with a lot of them because they're high income earners. They're buying these types of properties and they need to understand the details. So not everybody's like this, but naturally they gravitate toward the advice another physician tells them. And so I see this and I say this like with Justin, he said, you know, he is an engineer and he's working with one of his clients who's an engineer. Sometimes we find these people in our world and we're like, hey, you know, Justin's a really smart guy and he made really good money as an engineer, or, you know, Bob is this amazing physician and he's done really well. So, you know, Dave, the other physician is like, hey, Bob, give me some advice on the real estate side. And, you know, I heard this guy named Sean talk about this, but I'm going to listen to what Bob says instead of Sean, because Sean's been doing it for 26 years, but he's not a physician. Bob's bought two properties, but he's a physician. So I'm going to listen to Bob. Right. This happens a lot. So be very careful who you're taking advice from. If I'm going to go try to perform heart surgery, I'm not talking to another real estate investor. I'm not going to say, well, this guy's made millions of dollars in real estate, so I'm going to listen to him on advice in heart surgery. So those physicians out there that are listening, and again, I'm not making a ton of friends, but it is a reminder of to for all of us. It's an example picking on one group of people, but we naturally want to take advice from other people like us, our peers, right? Mm-hmm. And especially professional peers that you know they're smart people, but just because they bought a couple properties doesn't mean that they necessarily understand all the details. If you are seeking advice, and this is going down a road that I know you probably weren't wanting to go down today, because we'll talk about the details of it, but led me to, there's the reason we're getting all these calls is because this information's out there, and mm-hmm. we have to say all the time to people, hey, listen, that's not correct. Mm-hmm. That's going to get you in trouble. That's a little too aggressive in our mm-hmm. view. Oh, by the way, you're going to have to own this property. And guess what? If you buy the wrong property, it's a one-time tax advantage. So all of you that are listening, these high-income earners, and you're going to be thinking about this next year too. It's not just this year. Right. You're talking about it right now because you got a massive tax bill mm-hmm. that's going to be due. You're looking, and it's a little too late to be fixing the problem now.
Right.
It's going to be the same problem next year.
Right.
What you need to do is say, hey, what is the right strategy for me? And do I want a portfolio of short-term rentals? They mm-hmm. are massive tax savings. We can use them to accelerate our progress, build our portfolio with Uncle Sam's money. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But you need to buy quality assets that are cash flowing every single year yeah. and that are appreciating, that yeah. are in good areas, all those different things. Because if we make the wrong move there, we don't underwrite the market correctly. We don't underwrite the property correctly. And I decide, I don't really like owning this short-term rental. That night, if I was in my example I just gave you, mm-hmm. I took $95,000 in bonus appreciation, the one I got audited mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. And if I decided, oh, this property's losing me money every month, I didn't do a really good job, I rushed into it just to save the $95,000 on taxes. And then the next year I realize I'm losing money on the property and it's not performing and I don't like owning it. I have to not only sell a losing property, I also have to give back and recapture all of those taxes that I saved. You don't just get to buy them and then resell this property and not pay that money back. And so you have to recapture the taxes. You have to recapture that depreciation. If you're not going to 1031 it, you can 1031 it into another property. So you can mm-hmm. trade up and get bigger and better properties. Mm-hmm. If you bought a dog, you can try to say, hey, listen, I'm gonna move this depreciation and into a 1031 exchange into another property. There's ways around it, but you have to understand the strategy. Mm-hmm. And right now, the strategy is massive, which is why it gets a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. But also, there is a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of misinformation, and most of it is not intentional. I'm not calling Justin out to say he did it intentionally. Mm-hmm. He will probably go make that correction, hopefully, and it was an honest mistake. Mm-hmm. But honest mistakes lead people sometimes down the wrong road when you don't understand all the details. Words matter. Details matter, especially when you're talking about these types of complicated strategies. Your high income earners, you don't think the IRS has rules? You don't think there's T's to cross and I's to dot to do this stuff? You know, and we see all the time. We hear CPAs. I just hosted a webinar. Yeah. I barely just hosted a webinar. A CPA was on my live webinar and said, "Hey, Sean, this is all great, but I have a client who is a physician and says she's a physician. She does not have time to manage her own property. Mm-hmm. And so this is not going to be applicable to her." Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, with all due respect, it is applicable to her because guess what? I don't manage my own properties. Mm-hmm. I have full-time jobs doing other stuff. And I have full-time property management on every one of my properties and the one I just got audited on. So I can tell you, I know for sure that's not a requirement from the IRS. Mm. So really, I mean, even a professional CPA is telling me that this isn't the right way. So you have to you have to vet out every step of the process.
Yeah.
And who are you listening to? Where are you getting your advice?
Right.
And hopefully you're not just trying to give getting all your investment advice on YouTube and podcasts and on ChatGPT. Really, if you're going to run down these roads, you really ought to align yourself with professionals who are doing this, who have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe not somebody who was a professional in something else that decided to sell some coaching programs over the last couple of years. Mm. Right. And because they had some success by buying a couple of properties.
Golly.
So not... I'm probably going down way too many rabbit holes for you. So let's reel it back in.
Okay.
And talk about what you actually have on the agenda.
Well, man, I think you made up some really good points there, and I feel like I don't want to try and scare people away from this asset class, but I think what you really, for me at least, you hit the nail on the head. Is you have to have the right people around you, whether it be the taxes or the coaching or the other people that are actually going to give you the truth and the real honest details.
Yeah.
That's huge, man. If you're gonna listen to something, it could be bad, especially with the IRS.
What link do we have in the bio? What link do we typically put in the bio?
Can we
put a webinar?
Absolutely. Okay, I can put whatever link.
I started doing live webinars a few times a week where you can jump on and we talk about the pros and the cons of short-term rentals. We talk about, I share the audit details. I share the property, the audit details, what it takes to participate in these properties, all those details. So if we can put a link in the bio on wherever
in the show notes. Just scroll down and click it. There'll be a link right underneath this.
Go on, put a link in our Instagram bio as well.
Okay.
If you go check out Vodacy Sean Moore. Can you do link in bio in YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So if you're listening and you want a little bit more details and you want to join me on a live webinar, go sign up for it. And you can join me live. You can ask questions. If you don't have, the schedule's going to always be on there. Every week I host a number of different webinars that are live to really go into the pros and cons and what this is about. So, those of you who are listening, you heard me talk a lot about this stuff, but I show details, I show pictures, I take you through really what it takes to succeed. But this is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a massive, massive advantage for short-term rentals, right?
A lot of people are asking.
What do we talk about? Four levers we're pulling. One, cash flow. Two, appreciation. Three, note pay down. And four, tax advantages. And understanding all four of those is critical to your success as an investor. And it's critical for you to evaluate the right passive income vehicle for your situation.
Mm.
And, we love short-term rentals. I love short-term rentals. And it's the only asset I hold in my portfolio at this stage. I've been investing full-time in real estate for 26 years now.
Come on.
26 years. Come on. That's a long dang time.
Come on, bro. And that's how old I am, dude. That's as long as you,
and that's not passively. I have not had another job outside of real estate investing for 26 years.
That's how long.
It's a long time. I've seen a lot of asset classes and now we've gone all in on short-term rentals, but that doesn't mean it's going to be right for everybody.
Mm.
And so part of that webinar is to help you evaluate the right passive income vehicle. Short-term rentals for high income earners and they can be, very, very massive where you can, if I'm putting $160,000 down on an $800,000 property and I recoup $95,000 back from that, I don't have to pay the IRS, all of a sudden, and that property happens to cash flow that first year, it cash flowed $34,000. Mm-hmm. And so it stabilized about 55, but let's say my first year, We got 95,000 plus the 34,000. You know, we're roughly at $130,000 of my 160. So I only have to come up with another $30,000 to go do it again.
Come on.
Right? To go have that enough down payment to go buy another property. Mm. And so you can massively accelerate your wealth building journey and buying these properties using these advantages, but you really have to understand what you're doing. And you're not going to do it on your own. Right. It is scary as hell to go try to find this stuff online. I stopped using ChatGPT because I use ChatGPT a lot for the short-term rental advice. And I go and just test it because that's an area I know very well.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how watered down and very generic and kind of regurgitated stuff is where what it does is a lot of times I find that it combines multiple different kind of strategies that are both could be accurate, but they don't work together. Mm. And so it seems like a really good idea. It's not always the right idea. Like one, it was talking to me about one of the best ways to evaluate a property is to make sure it underwrites as a long-term rental. And to mitigate your risk, you want to make sure it underwrites as a long-term rental. They don't underwrite as long-term rentals. I don't own one property in my portfolio that would underwrite as a long-term rental. Mm. And so you have to be very careful about really who's giving you advice, where it's coming from, how much experience they have.
Right.
And because I don't believe there's a lot of people misleading people out there. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there's ill-intended people that are just trying to say whatever to sell something. Mm-hmm. I truly don't think that they are informed enough, that they haven't been around the block enough to know that the details that they're talking about and selling are actually not true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the case with Justin that we were talking about.
Oh, wow. Man, that's really interesting. Thank you for doing that. You went in depth there, and I loved it. I loved literally every second of that.
Okay,
so awesome. Thank you for that. I kind of want to transition just a little bit here into, you know, if the title is going to be how wealthy leverage short-term rentals for massive tax breaks, we've talked about, you know, how beneficial it is, but I kind of want a real life scenario. Say someone that's a high income earner, they don't really know about this, and they're hearing this, and they go, "Wow, this seems like it could be massive." How exactly can you use those tax savings as a real life play-by-play into taking that and then you just put it as a down payment into your next property? Or how do you use that acceleration? How does that work?
So one, it only works if you're actually paying taxes.
Okay.
So if you have a zero tax bill or you're already writing a bunch of stuff off and you don't, you know, you're going to have this write-off. A cost segregation, what it is it's an engineered study. And we've talked about this a little bit before, where you're going to hire a cost seg company. They're an engineer that's going to go in and they're going to say, "Hey, there's this much drywall in there. There's this many 2x4s. There's this much flooring. There's this much carpeting. There's how many light fixtures," all this stuff. They're going to give a useful life and a value to all that stuff.
Okay.
And then based on that, all of that stuff can be depreciated when you buy real estate. You can't depreciate land. So you got to remove the land and then everything else though can be depreciated as far as the building materials. And the IRS has a useful life of 27 and a half years, 15 years, 7 years, 5 years, depending on what it is, right? And so they're going to go to this big study and they're going to say, okay, based on all of this information on my property that I bought for $800,000, they remove the land, they do the engineered study, and then they hand me this study that says, here's the write-off that you can use. And so I don't get it. It's not a return or anything. Or it's not any sort of a tax return of any sort. It's just, here's a write-off you put on your taxes. So if you're a high income earner, you're reducing your taxable income by that amount.
Mm.
As long as, let me put an asterisk on this.
Okay.
It only works with short-term rentals, and they call it the short-term rental loophole because the IRS also has buckets of income. It's got active income, it's got passive income, and it's got portfolio income. Mm-hmm. You can only take losses from each of those buckets against that type of bucket. Well, real estate's passive income. So if I have losses, which depreciation is a paper loss, I can only write it off against my passive income.
Mm.
So my rental income, if I have other rentals, but I can't write it off against my active income unless I'm a real estate professional. Well, if you have a full-time job, you're not going to qualify as a real estate professional. So since you can't qualify as a real estate professional, there's also this other rule that says if a property has an average lease length of less than 7 days, then you can what they call materially participate in that business. And so I have to participate in the business. And this is where the CPAs get confused and say you have to manage it. Well, there's a lot of ways you can participate in a business without managing a property. And so we set up properties. We have to do all the marketing for the properties. We have to go buy all this stuff. We have to design them. We have to get them all set up. The first year that we buy a property, there's a lot more work to be done besides managing a property, especially. So the IRS says, if you materially participate, now what we will consider this passive income portfolio, this real estate, we'll consider it an active trader business. Because it's an active trader business, it now becomes active income. Mm. Because it's active income, I can take losses against my active income.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I have to qualify for all this. Mm-hmm. There's ways to do that. Even if you have a full-time job, even if you're not managing your property, we show people how to do this all the time. Oops, almost tipped over our whiskey. And so now all of that. So now I get this big write-off. Mm-hmm. I write off my taxable income on my active side. By doing that, I reduce the money I have to pay the IRS. So again, it's not going to save you any money. You're not going to get a $95,000 check back if you're not paying $95,000. In my case, I was paying way more than the $95,000. So I actually got to reduce what I was paying the IRS that year. My tax bill went down by $95,000. So instead of, I'm either going to pay it to the IRS or I'm going to reduce it, keep it in my own pocket, and then use it to go build my portfolio. You're not getting a refund back. You're not getting, you're not getting a check back from the IRS like a refund check.
Right.
What you're doing is you're reducing your taxable income by the write-off amount on that cost segregation. And whatever that reduced your income by, or the money you're paying the IRS by, you can keep that in your pocket. And what we always tell people, just be disciplined. Act as if you were paying the IRS. Mm-hmm. And so you can use it now to supplement and scale your portfolio.
Right.
Or you do it one time and you basically got the IRS to supplement your vacation home.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Now you have a lifestyle asset you and your family and friends can go use.
Does that make sense?
That makes complete sense.
It's hard to dive into these topics because there's so many details that you really need to understand. And again, I'm not a CPA.
Right.
I don't even do this stuff. I have CPAs that I hire with Mike and Kevin, who have been on the podcast many times with Revo Taxpayer Advocacy Group.
Yep.
And they're part of our Empire Club, our Vodacy family. They're expert advisors. They have coaching calls every Thursday for our members. Mm-hmm. And so these are the smart guys when it comes to this stuff.
Episode 294, episode 264. Go listen to it. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay. So I came up with two questions for you as you were going through it. First question, if you can't cost seg the land, do investors want properties in neighborhoods or on smaller plots of land? Or do they not really care about it? Or what is that?
So it's more advantageous from a tax perspective for your cost segregation study to buy in an area with average to lower cost per land. It doesn't necessarily mean whether it's neighborhood or it's a big lot or a small lot.
Okay.
It's the cost for the land, right? Here in Utah. Okay. Our land cost is fairly high.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not you're not gonna get nearly the advantages. Like if I buy an $800,000 property here in Utah and then I buy that $800,000 property that I bought in Georgia that we used as a case study that we got audited on,
right.
The land cost for that 3 acres on the lake in Georgia is significantly less than it would be here in Utah. If I bought that, if I spent $800,000 here,
right.
I might get a cost seg study of maybe half of that because they're removing so much of the land value. I'm paying a lot more for the land here in Utah than I would for the land in Georgia. Right.
Okay.
And so what it is it is more advantageous for areas you're in to buy in areas with lower to average land costs than these areas like out west or some of these areas, you know, west coast, any of your coastal areas. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a high, like think about the, if it's really expensive to buy in an area, typically your land cost is fairly high, right? And so you're going to remove a significant portion of that purchase price that can't be depreciated,
right?
You can't depreciate land. But land doesn't go down in value. It goes up in value. So the IRS says, no, there's not a useful life on land.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Next question. We get questions a lot, or I've had a couple of people say, you know, they want it done for you. They want to pay Sean more or Vodacy, and they want you to find the property, get the property, set it up. Just do it for me.
Yeah.
Now, as you're talking, I'm curious on why would you want a done for you if you need to be able to materially participate, you got to do like seven or whatever it was. You have to, instead of managing, you to be able to materially participate, you have to whatever it was called that you were just saying.
Yeah,
if you do the done for you, you don't get that, right?
Maybe not. So typically a done for you or a turnkey type of a property. Yeah. You're going in, somebody's analyzing it. They're going to vet it out. They're going to underwrite it. They're going to set it up. They're going to design it. They're going to basically sell you a ready to go turnkey property.
Right.
So you have to find ways now, and there's other ways. Uh-huh. And a lot of times that comes down to the management side of it. If you're going to do a full turnkey, you might be running out of things to do to get you those hours.
Right. Right. Okay.
And so, yeah, it could be to your disadvantage that you might not qualify depending on what qualification you're going after. The two most common qualifications are 500 hours. If you do 500 hours on a property, working on that property, getting it set up, getting it designed, managing it, whatever you're doing on it, marketing the property. If you're working on that for 500 hours for that calendar year, you qualify as a material participant. Then there's another one called the 100-hour rule, where you can only spend 100 hours working on that property, but you have to have more than anybody else. And so if I spent more than 100 hours doing all the stuff for you, maybe I have more hours than you do on that property. If your cleaner or your management partner has more than 100 hours. Now, let's say they came in with 130 hours. You have to have 131. Oh, right. You just have to have more than anybody else. Now the burden lies on you to make sure that you're tracking those hours and you can prove when the IRS comes knocking, which I had to, and they say, hey, you didn't manage this property. We need to know how many hours your manager had, how many hours the cleaner had, and it's on me to be able to show that and prove that.
Wow. Okay. So then that begs the question, if it's a done for you, that seems like, why would you want to do that? Because now you probably don't have the 500 hours or more than 100 hours than anyone else. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
There are ways you could probably navigate around that. Okay. That's not why I don't do done for you.
Okay. Okay.
I don't do and will not sell somebody a done for you property because, and I use the analogy of flying an airplane. If I could give you an awesome airplane, I could deliver it to you. I say, Jake, here's an amazing airplane. You have the money to buy the airplane. Doesn't mean you know how to fly the airplane, right? And you could not.
It'll be in a hangar,
right?
It'll be in the hangar for a long time, dude.
So and that's what happens with properties a lot.
Yeah,
and you see it a lot of times. Have you ever seen? There's a reason they don't do a lot of follow ups. I used to. We've been talked to about doing some shows on HGTV on A&E, and I talked to the producers. And I was talking one day, and we were in California talking to one of the producers for a Netflix series that they were talking about wanting to do with Odyssey, and they said, you should see some of these properties after these shows are done. They you know, they come in, they renovate the properties, they look beautiful. And then less than a year later, that property looks exactly like it did before.
Right.
Because those people didn't really learn
how
to do this themselves. Like, and that's just kind of a quick example, but I use the airplane example all the time.
Yeah.
You can afford an airplane. You can want to buy an airplane and I can give you an airplane, but it doesn't mean you should fly an airplane because you might kill yourself.
Okay.
Right.
And
short-term rentals are very much something like that. There are things that are happening on a regular basis, even if you're not managing your property, decisions to be made on the marketing, decisions to be made on optimizing these properties and different phases you're in. If you don't understand that, and a lot of times it's just decision points. And if you don't understand how to do that, just because you have a beautiful property in a great area does not mean you're going to do well. We buy properties that are beautiful all the time in great areas that are not performing well.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner has no idea why they're not performing. Mm-hmm. And we do. We can look at it and say, well, this is where you're missing here, here, and here. Mm-hmm. We're going to go make those adjustments. And then all of a sudden it becomes a really good performing property.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're buying a turnkey property and somebody's just delivering it, I could deliver you an amazing property in a great area. And my guess is that a year from now, it's going to be underperforming.
Mm.
And so that's why we don't do it.
Okay.
I only will work with somebody that is committed to the process of doing this.
Right.
And listen, I get it. So there's a lot of these high income earners in this situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's Monday. We've already got a couple of calls.
Yeah.
We get them all the time saying, hey, you guys are, you know, I've talked to a lot of times they're referrals. Mm-hmm. I've talked to so-and-so in your group. They're doing amazing. I'm in a situation where I don't have the time to do this. I just want to buy them. Will you go do it? I'll pay you to do it. And we say no.
Yeah.
We say no all the time.
It makes complete sense.
I don't believe in setting somebody up to run down a road they don't fully understand.
Mm.
And if they don't have the time, that means that's not a priority.
Yeah.
And it's just a place to park some money.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, I think there's many better places to just go park money.
Yeah. Okay, man. Let's cut to the chase, man. Cut to cheese. Oh, that's right. That means something else completely different.
Studio. Don't be doing that here.
Okay, what I'm saying. Okay, let's get down to the final question here.
Okay.
Is it too late? That's what people want to know. This will come out the 3rd of the December. You got 28 days left until 2026. Sean, is it too late?
Yes.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, let's be realistic and call a spade a spade. You know,
you left it to the last minute.
Yeah. If you left it until December 3rd to start thinking, am I going to do this? Yes. You're late to the party and the door's closing and you need to think about it for 2026.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. It's not, and regardless of what everybody wants to tell you online and everything else, it'll be very difficult. Now, in extenuating circumstances, if you're a cash buyer and you are, you know, you've been looking for a little while and you know that there's a, you know, like we have pre-vetted properties, we could sell a cash buyer tomorrow if they were already committed, they were already in the game, they already knew what they were doing. It's not, they could still pull this off. But those are the exceptions, not the rule right now. If you're just starting to think, holy crap, I need to go buy one of these things, it's too late. And I really encourage you to hit the pause button for a minute, not to pause on the idea of doing it, but don't rush into a bad property or a bad market because you're in a rush to save money this year. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in a rush to save money this year, that, you know, that your tendency to wait till the last minute to do something is also going to get you in trouble on how you're going to operate this and everything else. You need to be able to say, hey, listen, I got to make a change on how I'm going to do this. Let's start strategically planning. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between doing your taxes and tax planning and tax strategy. Mm-hmm. You need to be doing that all year long.
Yeah.
Right. And now is not the time to try to employ a brand new tax strategy. In my opinion, I just feel like it's you're way late to the game.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, someone's listening to this. They really appreciate your honesty. They like how you're not just saying, yeah, jump into it. You're going to save a bunch of thousands every year, multiple times. They like how you're saying it. How can they get in touch? What's the best way? Because they want to do this for 2026, man. They want the lifestyle asset. They want to do it.
Join my webinar. That's the best thing right now. Right now.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, they're listening to us on the podcast. Our goal is always to help people walk into this game with their eyes wide open.
Okay.
Good, bad, and ugly. Pros, cons, like vet out. The right passive income vehicles, right? I say all the time, like I learned one of the massive lessons I learned this year with losing my mom was we have way less time than we think, like way less time. Mm-hmm. And the second is I really, truly believe now more than ever that everybody needs a passive income vehicle. Mm-hmm. If that short-term rentals, great. We know exactly how to operate at the top of these markets, how to build quality portfolios, but take some time and do some due diligence on whatever passive income vehicle you choose that is the right one for your lifestyle and financial goals.
Right.
And you know, because I think it is more important than it's ever been in my lifetime to make sure that we start building this and taking care of ourselves because nobody's coming to save us.
Yeah.
And it just gets harder and harder. You know, the things feel like they get stacked further and further against us with government taxes, everything else. And so let's just start taking personal responsibility and extreme ownership of building something that works for us. Mm-hmm. And so go join the webinar. That's the stuff I'm talking about. That's the stuff I'm trying to do is to say, hey, listen, here's why I love short-term rentals. Here's why I don't. Mm-hmm. Here's what it's going to take. You know, the one of the big drawbacks with short-term rentals is it's not a game for somebody with very little money because it's one of those that it is a little bit capital intensive to buy these properties and set them up correctly. And so, you know, that's a big drawback. You know, you're not going to probably do this much on a shoestring unless you're starting like a co-hosting company, but that's not what we do. We're really about ownership. Mm-hmm. And so don't, you know, I don't need a bunch of DMs saying, hey, I did this with nothing and I managed 15 other people's properties. I'm talking about owning these properties. I'm talking about building a portfolio of properties you own.
Right.
And it is capital intensive. Mm-hmm. And what, even if you're getting zero money down to loans, it's capital intensive to set these properties up. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, we're going to talk about all that stuff. So join the webinar, go check out the link in the bio, the Instagram, you tell them where to go. I don't know where
it'll be.
The link posted everywhere.
Link will be in the bio of this episode. If you want to go to our Instagram, Bodicy Sean Moore, it'll be there. If you want to go to the YouTube page you're watching on YouTube, go to our bio. It'll be there. Yeah. I'll put it everywhere.
Yeah. And right now my schedule is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, noon Mountain Time. So
come on.
Right now, hey, we're getting after it.
We're
trying to get people in
cooking.
This game and really lining themselves up for success in 2026. I'm really optimistic about 2026. Yeah. I think that...
Dude, I've been saying this. It's my year, dude.
Where did I see? I think it was National Association of Realtors. It was a big organization. Is anticipating a 14.5% average appreciation across the board in 2026 due to anticipated interest rate cuts.
Wow.
So, I mean, so prices are going up I heard it on a podcast. I need to go verify where that study was and check out where their projections are coming from, but I'm pretty sure it was National Association of Realtors. It was a big, I remember it being a big organization, 14.5% they're anticipating. We've been sitting about 2% average across the board for the last couple years.
12, you're saying a 12% increase?
Mm-hmm.
You know, bro, that's double digit appreciation.
Average over a 40-year span is only 5.
Wow.
So you're just about 5% appreciation. So they're talking about 3x the average because there's just a lot of money sitting out there right now.
Uh-huh.
There's $7.5 trillion in cash equivalent sitting on the sidelines right now, ready to get deployed. That's a massive amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of buyers in waiting. There's a lot of shadow inventory out there. There's a lot of shadow buyers. There's a lot of money ready to get deployed. And I think that's the stuff they're anticipating. We've been anticipating, I think 2026 is, I think prices are going up. Mm-hmm. I think they're going up steeply. Boy, mm-hmm. I don't know that I want them to go up that much, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I own real estate, so it's kind of nice if your portfolio goes up that much in value. It's a massive wealth building lever, but that's a man that really hinders the affordability crisis that we're dealing with. But it's
so get in while the water's hot, man, so then watch it go up. That'd be awesome.
Right, get in.
All right, join the webinar. That was an amazing episode, man.
Okay, buddy.
40, almost 50 minutes in, fantastic stuff. I don't have anything. I thought that was fantastic.
Okay, we'll wrap it up then. Those of you that are, I do want to make some friends, so just so everybody
dude,
knows.
Come on. Come on, man.
It's nice to, I don't have a problem calling things out though either, and in a nice way, hopefully. But if you start putting a bunch of shit out there, I'm going to call you out.
Remember you did it in a nice way, man. It was nice.
Pace Morby said that you can't, I'll never invest in short-term rentals because, they're getting outlawed in states. I'm like, bro,
come on.
They're not outlawed in any state in the U.S. right now. And he was saying that they're outlawed in a bunch of states now. And blah, blah, blah.
Come on.
That's okay.
People
make mistakes. I've said shit that probably, I've made mistakes before. I've definitely made mistakes live on stage. I can remember two.
Yeah.
Because I speak live a lot, right?
Uh-huh,
so sometimes when you're talking live, you're like, you're going through stuff and you're talking and you're like, oh man, I can even make that correction. Then I go back on and correct it. But you got to make, it's okay to make a mistake. We got to correct it. So Justin, that's all I'm asking for you today.
Being able to point out the mistakes, I think is huge, man. Yeah. I think that's huge. Yeah. God, I mean, this is considered, I wouldn't call this live, right? We're recording this, but still sometimes
we don't edit these out.
I'm like, man, oh God, maybe I'm saying the right thing. Maybe I'm saying the wrong thing. So I don't know. Hey. You did great. I'm tapping out, man. You did great.
Okay. All right, guys. We will tap out as well. We appreciate you spending your time with us. We know it's valuable. And so thanks for spending it with us. Hope you got some value out of these conversations. We do our best to make sure that you're walking into this game with your eyes wide open, like I was saying before. And so we don't run ads or sponsorships on this show ever. So you don't have to listen to a bunch of product promotions. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing we ask is for you guys to share it. If you know somebody else that would like to be a part of these conversations, share the show. If you don't have somebody to share with, do us the solid and give us a thumbs up or a like or a review on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Then those platforms will share it with other people that they think might like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things help us. They help us grow the show. And we always appreciate you guys being a part of our listener family. And as a reminder, email Jake, support@odyssey.com. Any questions you have? We haven't given that reminder for a couple episodes, so we need to make sure we do that. You guys are all we love getting feedback from you. We love getting your questions, and we'll make sure that we put them on. Jake always puts them on as topics that we will talk about. And so don't ever forget to, if you have questions, don't be shy. Reach out to us. We love getting questions from our listener group and being able to answer them live on the podcast. If you have a question, just remember you're probably not the only one. Other people have that same question, so we'll make sure we get it answered. The final most important thing at the end of every episode, I ask you guys, Pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.